Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and in Nashville's best sports talk hour here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road here with you discussing the Nashville Predators. David Poile has made it pretty clear with some moves that he's made that the shakeup was necessary with this core. Victor Arvidsson now gone. Ryan Ellis gone as well. Some draft picks back in return for Victor Arvidsson, Cody Glass, and Philip Myers in return for Ryan Ellis. And we'll get to some more news on Myers that came across yesterday as well later this hour. Jim Diamond from the Associated Press going to be joining us at 7:30 to talk Nashville Predators as well. But David Poile using the term competitive rebuild the other day, Joe Rex wrote, and said in his opening statement, he did not consider this a full rebuild that the Predators were going into. So however you want to define it, there's a lot of change taking place right now with the Predators. There will be more that takes place tomorrow as well in the NHL expansion draft with Seattle coming into the league. We talked a lot yesterday about what this could mean for the Predators both in the short term and in the long term as well. My question for you now is, do you buy into David Poile's vision here? Obviously, he's made some changes. A couple of smaller guys are out. Some younger guys coming in. Made it pretty clear the other day that he wants to go younger with this group. Is that the right thing to do? Do you buy into this could ultimately make the Predators more successful in the end and actually get back to being a true Stanley Cup contender? Or do you think that maybe this could lead to some years of some struggling hockey over there at Bridgestone Arena? What do you think?
I mean, I don't know how you could look at this and not be really skeptical at this point. Again, we're talking about 2 years after making a massive couple of moves to bring in a centerpiece player saying, oh, actually, I want him gone. And that's just one of, you know, several missteps here in the past few years. Again, starting to me with the deal that got Kyle Turris in here to be the Preds' number two center in the fall of 2017. So do I buy into some form of this as necessary? I do. Do I buy into that it's actually going to work and be this quick whatever, like little, you know, like you ricochet and it's like a slingshot, and then you're right back to the top of the league? That's not impossible. It could happen, but there are a lot of things that have to break your way for that to happen. You could look at it and say, you could look at it if you're David Poile and say, well, it's about time some of these things started working out, but so many of them haven't that, you know, I think you have to be really skeptical about where this is going.
Well, I'll say this. One of the things I said heading into the offseason was one of the keys for the Predators is to not be fooled by the success they had coming down the stretch. I said that many times. I think it's easy in this league to say, all right, well, we were a great team in the second half of the season, and we found our identity, and that made all the difference. And we're going to come out next year, and that we're just going to pick up right where we left off, and that's going to be the way things happen. Could that happen? Sure. But I think too often teams kind of fall into that trap, and then the next season comes and goes, and they're right there on the bubble again, or they miss the playoffs, and you basically wasted a year at that point. I think that happens pretty frequently at the NHL level. To David Poile's credit, he has not done that. He has not rested on the second half of last season. There have been some big changes that have been made. I think there are some big changes still yet to come with this team. I also said yesterday, there's no way you can convince me at this point in the offseason, that this team is better. And I again had yesterday some people texting me about, I think this team is better right now. I can't see that. You can't convince me losing Arvidsson and Ellis, regardless of what you think about them and their playoff performance, their size, all that stuff. I hear you. There are some valid concerns there. But you can't convince me that today, losing those two, with the picture still incomplete, this team is better than it was.
That's just dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go there. So leaving open the what we know, that there's still going to be some more changes to come with this offseason, I'm still willing to kind of withhold judgment throughout the rest of the offseason. But I'll say, just based on the makeup of the roster, especially when I kind of buy into the fact that both Johansson and Duchesne are going to be back next year, I think this team is pretty far away from being a Stanley Cup contender. And I think maybe farther away than some people here want to admit or realize. Again, I don't want to take anything away from UC Saros, because he played great last year. And especially in the second half of the year, he was awesome. A large portion of what we saw last year with the Predators getting into the playoffs was him operating at an unbelievable level. And quite frankly, an unsustainable level. I've seen enough from UC Saros to believe that he is going to be very good. I think he could even border on an elite goalie in this league. Elite goalie in this league means 920, 925 save percentage. Most of that stretch in the second half of the year last year is about 945, 950. That's a huge difference. So I feel great about the goaltending. He's going to be fine. But he covered up a lot in the second half of that season last year. I don't think this team is all that close to being a Stanley Cup contender. I think with the moves that Poile has made, he kind of recognizes that, and you're just trying to change up the formula. He's done a lot of leaving things alone the last few years. I'm glad to see he's changing up the formula. But to your point, it's going to take a lot of things breaking your way for this to work, and it's really going to take a lot of things breaking your way for this to work if you've still got Johansson and Duchesne's contracts on the books. I mean, I know we keep coming back to those two guys every day, but that's how important those two guys are. Like, if their production's not going to improve and they're not going to get any better and they're still going to be here, you just can't win with that. I mean, you cannot win with two guys taking up that much money and bringing you not close to enough. You just can't happen in today's NHL.
Right. So let's say that you can. Let's say that David Poile is able to broker something and the Kraken, and again, it's going to hurt. I mean, it's going to cut into some of what they have, but there's like a little bit of a glut here of potential, forwards who could have key roles. If they do that, now you have even more cap space. Is it you're still going to have to, fight through a tough year to hope for player A, B, and C to get better, or is there a big answer? We talked some about this yesterday. I mean, Jack Eichel's the one name out there of a supremely talented player in a bad situation.
I just still don't think they've got enough assets to go get him. Like, I think even if they were to clear up some money, like maybe Landeskog becomes a free agency or becomes a free agent and you throw in a lot of money at him. But honestly, like, I don't know that the immediate solution, if you're David Poile, is freeing up all this money and then immediately throwing it back at somebody. Like, I don't know that that's the solution. I think it may be wise just to take a year, see what you've got in some of these young guys, hope Cody Glass comes up and he can figure it out at the NHL level, hope Philip Tomasino could start to figure it out at the NHL level, and when you've got a clearer picture of what those young guys are, then maybe you could start to add in free agency around those guys. Like, I don't know that with this free agent crop this year, there's all that many names that I'd be that willing to throw a bunch of money at. I don't think those guys are really out there.
So how much would a year like that hurt?
I don't think that much. I really don't. I mean, the two guys that's going to hurt the worst is Josi and Ekholm, right? Because those guys are not getting any younger. I mean, Roman Josi, I still think, is going to play at a high level for a long time. I think Ekholm's going to play at a high level for the foreseeable future. But those two guys, theoretically, you should be right kind of in the middle of their window to win. So every year that goes by, you're getting closer to a year where Roman Josi and Mattias Ekholm are not going to be the same guys. Philip Forsberg's not quite there yet. He's not quite in that territory. But this team, there are members of this team that are getting older that you would hope on the other side of the retool or soft reset or competitive rebuild, whatever term you want to use, that they're still valuable to you and still really good players on the other side. That's why, sometimes it may be tempting just to continue to try to go for it year after year after year. But if you're one and done in the playoffs every year, what is that really accomplishing? Like, what are you getting done at that point? would it be better to maybe go through it for a year, maybe 2 years, and then come out of it on the other side with an actual chance to really do something? That's right now, I think, the spot that they're in, that they've got to try to figure out. Again, it's not an exact science, because you can really go through it for a couple of years, not win all that much, and not be able to find your way out. Like, that can happen, but sometimes that's necessary in the NHL.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, along with all this discussion, you got the extensions you're hoping to sign.
Yep.
You got Granlund, you're, I assume, hoping to sign.
I think.
You know, obviously.
Hall, apparently, that you're hoping to sign.
Yeah, which, I mean, look.
He's good down the stretch. Hall. Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
I thought Hollow was really good in the playoffs.
Public enemy number one in Carolina.
That's right. Yeah, for some reason, they just can't stand him there. It's just it'll be clearer, obviously, once we get through Wednesday night, because then you know, okay,
right.
Well, a big part of next year is just hoping Johansson and Duchesne earn their money.
Yeah.
That's it. Or one of them's gone, and now what are you doing in that void? I think certainly if one of them were to be gone, I mean, that's where I think Granlund becomes
priority,
easier to sign, and more important to sign even. Although I think he's important to sign anyway.
I think he is too. We'll continue this conversation on the other side, taking your thoughts on our text line and our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking Nashville Predators, do you believe in the direction of this Predators team and the vision that David Poile has put out there this offseason? Taking your thoughts on our text line and our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Rob from Franklin, who wants to weigh in. Rob, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great thoughts on what's going to happen tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Just some observations. It was interesting on Game 6 for the Lightning versus the Canadiens. I was at Double Dogs after playing a hockey game, and ironically, right in behind me was sitting Ryan Johansson and James Neal with their lovely wives. And it was, I don't know how we got into a conversation with them, but it really struck me, one, just how big James Neal is compared to Ryan Johansson. Ryan Johansson is as big as he is. And just what good shape Ryan was in and how hard he's been working on strength and all sorts of interesting stuff. And then I went to do a little bit of reading on, you know, what the projected, you know, draft boards will look like for the Kraken tomorrow night. And by and large, there's a lot of speculation that they will actually, that there's a deal already been struck, that we might pick up a bit of the contract and that Johansson will go there, which I thought is extremely interesting given the fact that, you know, they're after a number one center, that there are a lot of forwards and a lot of defensemen, but the number one center is something they definitely want to build around. It really dawned on me that losing Johansson, I would, you know, if I had my druthers, I would really like Duchesne to hit the road and try something new. But Johansson, I think, is misjudged a lot. And here's the reason why. He's a big dude, and he takes some criticism for not always digging in. Where as a big guy, a big skater, he's actually moving pretty fast and doing a lot without actually showing it. So, like, the juxtapose, you have a guy like Arvidsson who's skating like crazy and shows the effort. It's hard to judge the effort. I think I won't really question the fact that they left him out there and that he's gone and that we need that 8 mil to rebuild. But he would have an impact, and I think he would ultimately get us what we want. Right, and that is if the Kraken do pick him, and if we are able to somehow unload Duchesne, what you're going to find is we won't be that competitive. We won't make the playoffs, and we will get in the lottery. And that's where you want to be. Otherwise, you're searching around for has-been forwards, which has not been a good story for Poyle.
Hey, thanks for the call. Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Rob. We appreciate it. To his point about Johansson, and, you know, we hear this all the time with him, the effort part of this, right? I don't know that I could have put it better than Rob just put it there. I mean, have there been instances of maybe him not skating as hard as he should have? Sure. I think if you look closely enough, you'll find that with generally every player around the league. Johansson, he moves pretty well. And to his point, sometimes it doesn't look like it because he's a bigger guy. But Johansson moves pretty well. He's fine. And you and I have talked about this, Joe. I think it's the same circumstance with Johansson and Duchesne. They both got to be better. But I do think they're both a little bit different. Like Johansson, I think at least there's a baseline of you know what he's going to be in the playoffs, and you know he's going to play well. There's got to be more in the regular season, and that's a problem with him. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's not. And maybe they do lose him in the expansion draft. But I still think the situations themselves are a little bit different between Johansson and Duchesne.
I think they're quite different. I could almost go as far as saying, like, if it were to work out where they lost Johansson here, you know, it could end up being a bad thing for them. I mean, yes, you clear that $8 million, but I mean, I think to Rob's point, you know, if you're constantly out there, okay, which talented forward is in a bad spot that maybe we could find this guy or that guy and cobble it together versus going all the way to the point where you can get one of these high draft. I mean, I know that's also a real dicey thing. I mean, you don't have McDavid most years. You don't have some of these guys who have been foundational pieces when these franchises went to the bottom. But still, higher picks should mean something. And if you're constantly making the playoffs, that's great. That's a good comment on what you are as an organization. But eventually, then you come to this point and you don't have the assets in your organization that other teams do.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ryan from Hermitage, who wants to weigh in. Ryan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. I still believe in the expansion draft. They've got to find a way to move Duchesne over Johansson, not only because of the effort that Johansson does put in, but also the fact of the matter is, if Duchesne is going to be this kind of Duchesne through the rest of his contract, he's got no movement clause kicking in, and if they don't move him now, they're going to be stuck with that, and it's his choice. And if he doesn't want to leave Nashville, the only thing they're going to do is buy him out. My only other thing is, with the rumors of Shea maybe retiring, would it be smart for maybe the Preds to work a deal in Montreal to try to acquire Shea Weber again and just keep him on long-term IR so they don't get hit with that cap hit?
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We'll start with the Shea Weber thing. I don't know. First off, I don't know that Montreal would do that. And what are you giving up to get Shea Weber? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's probably worth looking into if you're David Poyle and the Predators. I would put the chances of that happening pretty low. Like Shea Weber, and we talked about it last week, it doesn't look good for him right now. He's not just going to give up. Like, he's going to try to come back and play. Like, I don't really – right now – and I could be wrong. You know, I'm not sitting here talking to Shea Weber on a daily basis. But right now, I don't get the sense that retirement is really on his mind. I get the sense that maybe it's we sit out a year, you see where you're at, and then maybe you readjust after that. But I don't think that Shea Weber is going to just like rush into this retirement decision. We talked to Arpin Basu last week from The Athletic, who covers Montreal. People have doubted Shea Weber before. He's found a way to get back on the ice. I think he's going to exhaust every option to get back on the ice. So I would hold off on that. I think Shea Weber, the number one thing on his mind right now is, all right, how can I get through this, get back, and start playing again? So that would be my thought on Shea Weber.
It's also like, I don't know, but the idea that you could do that, what Ryan just suggested, is just so ridiculous.
But I think you can.
It's just... What a league.
Yeah. I have to double-check that, but I think you can. So, I mean, but you know, if Weber retired
And avoid all the cap recapture.
Right. But if Weber retired then, even if he's on your team, I think you'd still have the cap
recapture. You're still on the hook.
Oh, but basically, it boils down to whether or not Shea Weber's going to retire. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I agree with you. I'd be stunned if he did right now.
Right.
So it's going to be a while.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators. I got more of your thoughts to get to. We'll do that coming up at 7:45. Jim Diamond, though, going to join us coming up next. Has covered the Predators for a long time. Does work for the Associated Press. You can find Jim Diamond a whole lot of places. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Predators. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Jim Diamond, member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association, covers the Predators for the AP. He's covered the Predators for a long time. Jim, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Robert, I'm great, but thanks for calling me old this early in the morning.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm just
venerable.
Making sure we keep people in check here on the show.
Yeah, no, I'm checked. 7:30, 7:31, I'm checked.
There we go. Good job. Jim, I want to get your thoughts. We got a lot to get to with you. Let's start with the Ryan Ellis trade. What were your thoughts on the trade? Were you surprised that the Predators and David Poile moved Ryan Ellis? And what did you think of the return that they got for the trade of Ryan Ellis to the Philadelphia Flyers?
I wasn't super surprised. I do think, or hoping on their part, that means that they sort of have an agreement with Ekholm to stay after this year, because he's unrestricted. Because I think losing both of them would leave their defense core really thin. Wasn't super impressed by the return, but with younger guys, you want to see how they develop. And I know, hopefully the Cody Glass situation is just something where a change of scenery can buoy him a little bit, because he hasn't done a whole lot to date, but still a young guy, still a very high draft pick, so still to be determined. But all in all, not super shocked, I guess a lot is still to be determined on that.
How about the expansion draft situation, Jim? One, Tanner Jeannot being protected, but then also the fact that, no surprise I think to any of us, DeShane and Johansson aren't. What do you think the possibility is that David Poile can pull something off and get one of them selected?
Yeah, I was a tad surprised at the Jeannot protection, but the more I thought about it, when you protect Oxbow, Saskatchewan, Oxbow, Saskatchewan protects you.
That's a good point.
I think it's a good, I loved what I saw, when he played, no question about it. Not sure he would have been someone that jumped out to Seattle. And I think it's going to be a tough – I think it's going to be an impossible sell to get able to take DeShane. I think Johansson, there's a possibility to it. But those are some pretty hefty contracts. And I think a lot of this plays into Seattle's overall philosophy, which, we do not know as far as contracts they're looking to take from other teams, whether it's Carey Price or – Tarasenko, some of the large numbers out there. They obviously have the cap room, but they do want to build something, reasonably quickly, I would think, and kind of hamstringing yourself on a couple of those contracts may not be the best way to go about it.
Jim, so we talked to David Poile on Saturday after the Ellis trade was made. He said in his opening statement he did not feel like the team was in a rebuild. Later used the term competitive rebuild to describe what the Predators are doing, and we know with the expansion draft tomorrow and free agency, contract extensions, all these things that are still yet to happen this offseason, there's still more of this picture that needs to be played out. But as of now, as you view Victor Arvidsson being moved, Ryan Ellis being traded, the expansion draft coming up, where do you think the Predators are? Are they a team that needs to go into a rebuild, in your opinion? How would you describe the state of this Predators team and Predators franchise as they hit through the rest of this 2021 offseason?
To use a very simple word, they're just kind of meh. I mean, they're just kind of floating, I think. It's difficult with the contract we talked about. If you still have Johansson, if you still have Pardon me. I'm getting all choked up here talking about
it's an emotional time. We know.
Forgive me, please. But if you still have, you know, the Johansson and Duchesne contracts, you know, and the Yossi, I don't see how you can rebuild with guys, you know, 30-ish, you know, inching closer to where their skills are starting to decline. So I don't blame David Poile for saying that they're not in a rebuild, but they're kind of stuck in the middle where they're okay, but they're definitely not one of the top teams in the West, definitely not one of the top teams in the league, and I don't see them getting there quickly unless there's, you know, some significant shakeup, significant more shakeup to come than what we've already seen with, you know, like you said, Arvidsson and Ellis going out. But I just think they're kind of floating. You know, I don't see them as good. They're okay, but they're not horrible. So I don't know if that's the greatest place to be in, though, you know, when it all comes down to when you're trying to figure out what you're doing.
So as you look out there at possibilities, which, like you said, I mean, the possibilities are much different based on, you know, the expansion draft, but is there anything out there, anyone out there, you look at Jim and say, okay, if they could get this guy, maybe that takes them out of floating meh?
Is Connor McDavid an option?
I think that. And then, you know, of course, David Poile's going to try and swing a trade for Jack Eichel because, A, he's American, and B, played college hockey. But I just don't think that that's a possibility. And I think prior to last year's kind of free agent flurry where they brought in a bunch of guys, we thought we were going to see more of the younger guys in the system, you know, get some opportunities. And, you know, that may be the point where they're at to kind of see, you know, I don't want to say throw this season away, but just kind of give some guys a season to see where they are and what they have before they you know, kind of make a grander decision. At that press conference Saturday, I kind of fished around to David Poile to see if a cap space meant he was going to go shopping this year or if he was kind of saving it for, you know, hopefully re-signing Ekholm and Forsberg, and he didn't really give me an answer, which I didn't think he would, but... So cap space is extremely valuable, and I don't know if you go out and spend like a drunken sailor the second it hits your bank account. But I think this may just be a season to kind of see what they have internally and then kind of look forward to the next couple of years. But, you know, you got to be careful with, like I said, with Forsberg and Ekholm as unrestricted after this season. You know, do they want to hang around for a long-term rebuild? And that's a difficult question that we would probably have to ask them.
Jim Diamond on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And to that point, I agree with you. I think in order for David Poile to trade Ellis, probably some pretty high confidence that Ekholm is going to be able to be signed to an extension. Otherwise, probably hold off a bit before you trade Ryan Ellis. Jim, the Forsberg decision is interesting to me because he's 26 years old. I think we would all recognize Philip Forsberg is a very good player. I don't know that Philip Forsberg is worth a ton more than he's making right now. He's making $6 million a year. I think he's going to get a raise. I don't know that I would pay Philip Forsberg $8 million a year or $8.5 million a year. He's been injured in each of the past four seasons. Everybody keeps waiting for Philip Forsberg to have, you know, the 35-goal season or the 40-goal season and be a point-per-game player, and it's just not happened yet. So I think it's interesting from the Predators' perspective. I think it's also interesting from his perspective. Like you said, they've traded to Victor Arvidsson. We saw Forsberg's reaction to that. He was not very happy about Arvidsson being traded. I can't imagine he's overly happy with Ryan Ellis being traded either. I think there's an actual decision, an interesting decision for Philip Forsberg to make here. Does he want to stick around for what could be a rough couple of years if things don't, you know, really change dramatically this offseason? Does he view this team as close? Does he view this team as going the wrong way? Like, I think there's a lot of really interesting things to sift through with Philip Forsberg. And my question to you is, if you're the Predators, how long do you give this to kind of play out and to get him signed to a contract, as you said, with 1 year remaining on his deal, before you have to entertain the idea of maybe moving Philip Forsberg this season?
Yeah, and it comes down to that number. I think, you know, you mentioned six. $6 million. If you're Philip Forsberg, do you take a dime less than Heinz Johansson is making? You know, I say no, just based on principle. And the same thing with Duchene. So, I think he's going to get $8 million, whether it's from the Predators or someone else. But I don't think you can play around with this super long if you're the Predators, just based on the fact that salary cap is at such a premium around the league, and there's not a whole lot of cap dollars to go around. So if you're going to move him, you know, this year on his current contract, it's possible. But you know, I think once free agency hits and the salary cap dollars dry up, you're looking at later in the season if you're going to move him toward the trade deadline. And last few years, the returns at the trade deadline haven't been spectacular. So I know there's a lot of press on Seth Jones in Columbus, you know, saying he's not going to sign an extension, so he's out there. So I think it'll be kind of an interesting situation to watch. But I would think if there's, you know, something going to happen, it would happen sooner rather than later, just because you know you don't want to leave yourself in the position of losing him for nothing or next to nothing in a trade deadline deal type situation.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you talk about $8 million for Forsberg. It sounds like an amazing deal relative to other contracts currently on the team. But so, Jim, we've talked a little bit about UC Saros, obviously a big part of this discussion or any hockey team discussion. What do you think about him, what we saw this last year, where he's going?
Well, I mean, they've obviously made the decision that he's the one long-term. I don't expect them to bring in a big name, a high dollar backup. And David Boyle, you know, said it as such that they're looking for a backup goalie here in free agency. So he was really good. He's the reason that the team got out of their funks, from the early season. And just the way the whole season played out, you know, it's kind of hard to blame anyone for a slow start. It was such a weird situation, but without Saros, they're nowhere near sniffing the playoffs, I don't think. I don't think that was a fluke. It wasn't a 1 or 2 week stretch where he was good. Like, he was good for months. And so I think he's their guy. I think, you know, an experienced backup would, you know, do him well, much like they had with Pekka. He's going to be the one.
Jim Diamond has covered the Predators as long as anyone, does a great job for the Associated Press as well, member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. Jim, appreciate you, brother, for taking time to come on with us this morning.
Oh, anytime. Miss you guys.
Absolutely. Miss you as well. It's going to be an interesting offseason coming up for the rest of this offseason with the Nashville Predators. Jim Diamond does great work covering the Nashville Predators. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Jim had to say there. Got more of your thoughts to get to as well on the Nashville Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Eliza Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Nashville Predators. Thanks to Jim Diamond for joining us in the last segment. Great information on the Predators. The expansion draft coming up tomorrow. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in. Is it possible that the Predators may have protected a player or two to keep Seattle from selecting them, but will then use them in a package to take one of the higher $8 million forwards, like a package that would send Fabro and a pick to Seattle for them agreeing to take Duchene and his contract? It is possible that can happen.
It's possible.
I was thinking about this as Jim was talking. You know, we've talked about the changes that have been made, the direction of the team, how potentially, especially if you go younger, there's always the potential there where it could be rough for a couple years and you could miss the playoffs. Is that worse than hanging on to Duchene and Johansson and not being willing to pay a premium price to get them out of here? Which situation is worse? Going through a couple of years, hopefully coming out on the other side of it? You don't know that you will. Hopefully coming out on the other side of it, or not being willing to pay that extra premium and having Duchene and Johansson on the books for the next 4 to 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to answer it without knowing exactly what the premium is.
Let's say there's
a limit.
Let's say you give up Dante Fabro. I think a lot of Predators fans would be like, yeah, you give up Dante Fabro right now. He's a 22-year-old defenseman. You selected him in the first round. I still think there's a lot of ability there. I don't know that Dante Fabro is ever going to become Roman Josi or anything like that, but I still think he can be a good player. Are you willing to give up on a first-round pick that you invested in 2016 to get rid of a Matt Duchene or a Ryan Johansson?
I mean, it's, you know, look, I mean, we've talked about that as one of the names, but you got to think real hard about that. Obviously, this past season was discouraging on the Fabro front, but again, his age and other things you've seen from him, the guy can play. I mean, he has a potential to be a very good defenseman in the league. I don't know. I mean, the answer to that is what you really think he's going to become. You know, if you just kept Samuel Girard, you know, we keep going back to then you wouldn't have the issue. I mean, obviously, Carrier's emergence kind of changes things, but...
Well, the other thing is the right side, right? Like, Ryan Ellis isn't there anymore. Again, they obviously feel very confident in Alex Carrier. I'm confident in Alex Carrier, too. I'm not willing to just completely sell out on Alex Carrier yet. I need to see it for longer. If you get rid of Fabro there, that right side's looking pretty thin, especially if Carrier can't handle it at that top level. I don't know what you do at that point. So that's something you got to keep in mind if you're David Poile on the Predators.
I mean, based on things they've said, which I know sometimes can be exaggerated, you have to take it all with some level of skepticism, but based on things they've said, I feel like they feel like Fabro is an important part of the future.
Agreed.
Now, again, that was also in the context of being asked, why the heck isn't he playing?
Right.
So some of that may be, let's give the young guy a boost of confidence. Hey, if you want to be, you know, if you want to be a real cynic, maybe they want to deal him, and they, you know, you want other teams to feel like he's good,
right?
But I get the feeling Fabro. I don't know if he'd be untouchable, but I think that'd be a lot to ask. Yeah, I mean, the more I think about it, I'm just gonna be really surprised if after Wednesday they don't have both of those guys, Duchene and Johansson, back on their team. I'm skeptical. It just feels like Seattle is, although they're not showing their hand, they have better options for getting to that cap floor.
Yeah.
And they don't look to me like a team that's thinking they can do what Vegas did.
No.
And I mean, even if they did think that, do they think that Duchene is the answer?
Well, you can think that way all you want. What are the chances that you can do with what Vegas did, right? When you get to the cup final. You've been in the conference final 3 times in 4 years.
Or even like, you know, even just like be a playoff team in year one. I mean, I think even that, it is possible.
It's possible in that division, for
it
sure.
It is. It's possible in that division. And, again, you look at what's available to them.
Yeah.
It could be pretty good. But compare some of those other players to what the Preds are trying to get them to take.
Yeah.
Tough. Tough sell.
You know, we talked a lot yesterday about Colton Sissons and Tanner Jeannot and, of course, Yakov Trenin. As well, the possibility of being selected in the expansion draft, obviously, as you know, is protected. One guy that a lot of people think is most likely to be selected, Cale Yarncroke. 1 year remaining on his deal and almost led the Predators in scoring a year ago. We could be 1 day away from the extinction of Jadeveon Rexcroke here in Nashville.
That's too bad. It'd
be a really sad day. Keith is upset on our text line.
Half in Cleveland, half in Seattle.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll always be part of the sports universe. We can still talk about them. Yeah, that'd be my guess. You think they're going to take Sissons?
I do. I think they're going to. Well, look, that's probably who I'd take. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on that front. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texting in. I think the Ryan Ellis trade was less to do about the trust in Alex Carrier and Dante Fabro and more to do with Ryan Ellis' health and age. I would want to go ahead and get that contract off the books now before I couldn't in the coming years. And I'm sure that's part of it.
Sure.
I'm sure it's the whole factor, right? It's the whole picture. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that if you're David Poile and the Predators, there had to at least be some concern about Ryan Ellis in the back half of that contract. Either not being the same player or not really being even close to the same player based on the injuries that he's had.
How's this being received in Philadelphia, by the way? I really haven't.
The Cup Parade is being planned in Philadelphia.
Really? So there's just all kinds of excitement about this.
They are very happy. Very happy.
Well, good. You want everyone to be happy.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Everyone wins the trade.
Frank texting in, can you guys actually translate what Poyle's vision is? After protecting Jeannot, I'm not seeing an actual vision. Competitive rebuild doesn't qualify as a vision. What do you think David Poyle's vision is right now?
Well, it's a fair question.
Yeah.
I mean, David Poyle's not going to tell us all the moves he's going to make before he makes them. So I'm withholding some judgment until we see the whole picture. We see what happens in the expansion draft. We see what, if anything, Poyle does with the extra cap space, if he can get Granlund back. I said it back at the trading deadline. That, to me, is one of the essential parts of not trading him at the deadline, is that you end up getting him back. He did help you get to the playoffs. You don't get to the playoffs without him.
Right.
But now, are you getting him back? There's just so much that we don't know. But, I mean, I think Jim Diamond put it well. They're sort of in that meh, floating sort of mediocrity to pretty good kind of team. And it's hard to shake that up. They are shaking it up on the front end in terms of unloading some of these contracts. And I think both players dealt are good players to deal. The return's underwhelming. But again, what if Cody Glass comes in next year and it all comes together for him? There's just no matter what, it's going to come down to a vision of, I really hope this, and this happens, or else we're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be no certainty that this team is a strong contending team going into next year. There's no way. Won't even be close to that.
Our buddy Bob on Twitter says, I don't think there's any way that they don't take Johansson. I think there's a way. I think that way is the $8 million price tag per year. I think Jim put it well. I don't give, unless there's some serious, you know, additions along with it, I don't think there's much of a chance Seattle's taking Duchesne.
Agreed.
I think they're going to think about Johansson. I think they consider Johansson. I still wouldn't say it's very likely that they take Johansson.
Yeah, I certainly disagree with Bob on that there's, you don't think there's any way. Again, look at all the players available to them. There are some other high-priced choices that they might like better. I will say, though, again, like if it goes the way of Johansson, I mean, that's where, to me, next year's team really could suffer for it. Now, you open up the money, so now you have different possibilities. I'm not sure unloading Johansson is the right thing for the Preds. I'm very stuck in the middle on that. With Duchesne, I mean, I think if you can do it, you celebrate it.
By the way, Myers coming in from Philadelphia. The jersey numbers put out yesterday. Cody Glass wearing number 8. Myers wearing number 6, which used to belong to former Predators captain Shea Weber. What did you think of that yesterday with the reaction to Myers wearing number 6?
Well, first of all, my gosh, Jared. Jared's reaction was like he lost it about this.
Yeah.
I think Jared said wow like 20 times on that segment. I don't see why it's a big deal. You tell me, why is it a big deal? But you thought
I thought they were going to retire Shea Weber.
Yeah, so there you go. I honestly had dismissed that as a possibility. When they traded him, he wasn't there for the greatest two seasons in franchise history. I just feel like he comes up just a little bit short of that. We know Pecorine's 35 is going up.
Yeah.
Roman Josi has won a Norris.
Roman Josi, when he's done playing, will have his jersey retired.
I've dismissed the idea that number 6 would go up there. But again, this is where I could be wrong. I mean, I don't have a grasp of how he's
I read viewed. That yesterday as it's not going up there.
You thought before that it was.
Yeah.
Huh.
I was kind of floored that he's wearing number 6, I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's the world's biggest deal because I very much subscribe to the you better be really good for a long time to have your jersey retired. I think Shea Weber is kind of right on the edge. I think Shea Weber was their best player for a long time. I think Shea Weber, for a few seasons, single-handedly drug this team into the playoffs. So, he was very important. I mean, honestly, I think you could make an argument he's right up there with Pecorine in terms of importance to this team and importance to this franchise. He's probably a notch below it And I think a lot of why he is a notch below it is what you just mentioned. Two best years we've ever seen, where Pecorine largely being a big part of that. But I just think, as Joe Rexroad punches the microphone, I just think Shea Weber was incredibly important. I thought there was a pretty good chance they'd retire his number. But I'll say, you know, a couple of people said yesterday, well, when Shea's done playing, they can retire it. What this signaled to me yesterday was they're not retiring that number. Like, I don't think they would let anybody else wear it if they were. Now that's just the way I read it.
Yeah. Now, that has happened.
It's happened. But
teams have had a jersey in circulation, then they just take it out when they retire the number.
Right. But generally speaking, you say, hey, why don't you pick a number? It's also like he wasn't number six in Philadelphia. He was number five.
So do you think that this represents the decision? Ultimately, like, okay, he's not quite going to be retired. You can put it back into circulation.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, that's a question worth asking somebody over there.
Yeah. We'll have to get to bottom.
I think that by the time Yossi's done,
he's going to be retired.
I think he'll be clearly ahead of Weber on the pecking order.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you can make an argument that maybe he already is. But Shea Weber was very, very important to this team. I'm not saying that he absolutely 100% should have his jersey retired. I was just leaning towards they would retire his number. But I read that yesterday as apparently not. Meyer's going to be wearing it. Tell you what, that's a lot to live up to, number six in that jersey. So hopefully Meyer's is up for it.
That's true. That's a little bit extra pressure. Johnny, friend of the show, tweets and he thinks that Weber will be in a Preds Ring of Honor. They don't have a Ring of Honor, do they?
I don't think so.
But that's
maybe they make one.
The Ring of Honor is sort of the
step below.
Is that the step below?
I guess.
Jersey retired?
Yeah.
Could do that. He'd be in that.
Yeah, well, I would hope so.
There'd be a lot of people who could be in that.
Yeah, absolutely. When we come back, we will get into the Tennessee Titans. Lots of rankings coming out from ESPN.com lately. Some have given the Titans individually a lot of respect. As a team, not so much. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.